Good evening. Gentlemen, don't forget, if you haven't had a chance or you don't know the song, Sunday is Real Man Sing Real Loud, and it's a song I don't know that we have sang very much, but it's Leave It There. You know, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there, and we'll be singing that Sunday for Real Man Sing Real Loud. So if you don't know it, Google it, listen to it, go online, read it. But I always say, if Johnny can read, Johnny can sing out loud, right? Just sing what you read. But well, it's always good. May not always be on key, but it's always good, and it's always loud. Amen. So we're glad you're here tonight. Let's go ahead and stand together for a word of prayer, and then we'll be moving in tonight. I'm going to do something a little different. I'll say it now so I don't forget. Before we pray, we're going to not do a verse-by-verse study on Proverbs. We're going to go through the book of Proverbs, but more alphabetically. So tonight will be Abominations of God, and then we'll just kind of go through that way. So we'll be bouncing through Proverbs, but kind of in a word study with alphabetical order, and I wasn't sure, a little bit different, never done this before, so let me, the layout, it's one piece of paper sideways, landscape folded. Let me know if you think you need more room for notes or whatever, so I can readjust how I do those handouts, because again, this is the first time I've done a word study sharing as opposed to a word study for my personal benefit in my sermon preparation. So give me some feedback on that, if there's enough room on that. If not, I can make a little more room on the handouts. All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for the cooler weather you brought our way and the rain that's supposed to be coming sometime over the next 24 hours. And Lord, I pray that it is a soothing, soft, and not boisterous, loud, hard rain that can soak in and enjoy the cooler weather and the rain and the moisture that we need here in our ground. Lord, I pray now that you would bless our time together tonight, that you would prepare our hearts, help us to prepare our hearts and minds for the time together of praying for one another, as well as preaching and teaching of your word. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Father, we pray that you be with us tonight as we transition to our time of Bible study and worship. Lord, that you would help me tonight, give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech. Help us, Lord, to glean and some things from the scripture that would help and encourage us as we study the word of God. We ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, as I mentioned, I don't know if I prepared enough or too much material for tonight. We'll see how it goes. Let me know on the handouts as far as maybe I try to leave a little room for notes. If you need to add a notes, I didn't want to put too much information, but enough information. So we'll go ahead and get started tonight. I'm not going to go verse by verse, but our verse tonight that we're kind of we'll refer to once again is Proverbs 16:5. I'll go ahead and read that, Proverbs 16:5, and we'll begin our study tonight. The Bible says, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished." So we're going to take that word abomination, and we're going to start a study over the next several weeks, Proverbs on abomination. And we'll give a little bit of an introduction, a little bit of definition as we go, and several passages of Scripture to support the aspects of abomination. Now, the word, as you have in your notes, abomination is from the Hebrew word to abal, which means a disgusting thing. Now, think about it for a moment. When you think of an abomination of the Lord, do you think disgusting? I mean, we know abomination is strong, it's hard word, it describes very clearly, but have we thought any further on that? A disgusting thing, something that is terrible, something that is morally repulsive or wicked. So when we keep that in context of what we're studying tonight and over the next few weeks as we look at the word abomination, it occurs more than 100 times in the Old Testament and refers to idolatry, homosexuality, which would not be a popular thing. Make sure this gets on the internet anyway. Homosexuality, human sacrifices, and occult practices. Now, I'm going to pause there because I watch the news. If I lived in the United Kingdom and I fly into the United Kingdom over the next month and they see or hear this video, hear me say that, they can arrest me. I just had someone arrested this week over speaking out against things that are wrong or wicked. Let's pray that doesn't change here in our country. 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 26. "And he did very abominably in following idols," again, disgusting to the Lord, "according to all things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." Leviticus 18:22. "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." Deuteronomy 12:31. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods, referring to idolatry. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those things. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses a divination or observer as times, or an enchanter or witchcraft, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a new chromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee. Our study of Proverbs will help us understand what an abomination is to God and what he finds disgusting, or why he finds it disgusting. First blanks here. Biblical knowledge of any type, but biblical knowledge will help us keep out of trouble and keep short accounts. There is no doubt as we study and we are reminded of things that we already know that are wrong, that we already know are sinful, but how often do we think of them as being disgusting, abomination, wicked in the sight of God? Over the next few weeks, we'll look at three abominations. Tonight, we'll look at abominations to God. And next week, over the next few weeks, abominations to good men and abominations to bad men. So tonight, the first one, abomination to God. Letter A. A proud look. Yes, that means God is disgusted. It's an abomination. Proverbs 16:5, we read that. I'll read it again. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. The Bible makes it very clear that God hates human pride. The proud, the cocky, the defiant, the rebellious attitude toward God is repulsive, the Bible says, to the Lord. Pride is the breeding ground for sin to grow. Pride is a breeding ground for sin to grow. We need to realize that, yes, that haughty look, that pride, yes, it not only is an abomination to the Lord, but it's also fertilizer for sin. If we are going to get rid of poisonous fruit, we must attack the dangerous root that is a painful thing to do. And very often that root is not visible. It's not seen. I have an illustration here that I think I just wrote illustration there. But several summers ago, our grandson Logan came to spend time with us. And I think I may have shared a few different times where he came to visit us. And the agreement was that he would bring some of his football gear and his cones, and Papa would throw the ball around with him and get a whistle and blow the whistle and help him with some of his drills. Well, after day one, we never got back to those drills. But what we did do is we worked in the yard every single morning very early before it got too hot, and then we would go fishing for the rest of the day or half a day. And then it wasn't long after that I'll kind of go ahead and then come back that Logan said he didn't mind missing some of the drills. He says, "Papa, I think I'm in better shape this summer for football than any summer that I ever have." Well, preacher, what did you do to that boy? Well, we found some roots in the yard. Some of them were visible that you could see above the ground, but not all of them were visible. So I got a pickaxe or a mattock and an axe and a shovel and a wheelbarrow. And Logan, I think with a little bit of pride as a teenager, said, "Oh, Papa, we got so much work to do. Let me handle this and you go take care of the other things in the yard." So, well, let me get you started before we go. And so I took the pickmatic and the axe and showed him what I wanted as far as chopping up these roots, digging them down. I wanted them out of the yard. I didn't want them in. We had to trace them back. So we might, "Well, can't we just cut it off right here and then just pull it up?" I said, "Well, how far back does it go to the tree? Let's find out where it goes." So he was digging up a portion of the yard, probably here to the wall, which is the border of my neighbor's yard, because some of those roots were coming from their trees and their yard and going toward my house and pushing up my air conditioning units. So long story short, 4 days later, Logan was still working on him. A few hours every day, because I go by and I would check on him. And the point I'm trying to make is sometimes we may feel like we bite off more than we can chew, or sometimes pride gets in the way that we can do something, or that maybe it's sometimes we shouldn't be involved. But then again, of course, we did go fishing each and every day after 2 or 4 hours of yard work. And my point is, once the root of pride begins to grow deep, it is extremely hard to root up or to dig up. Not impossible, but with much work and humility, it can be accomplished. For Logan, it was after several days of working, it was a little bit leaner, a little bit trimmer, a little bit stronger, a little bit more muscular. But he dug in for days, for over that week and a half, 10 days, a little bit in the yard. When we get proud, we resist God's leadership and start believing that we can live without His help. In other words, I can do it myself. I found out real quick, Logan found out real quick, a little bit every day, that he would holler, "Papaw, can you come over and help me with this?" Whether he had that pickaxe in there leaning over, and I was worried he may or may not break that handle, but I wasn't too worried. Brother Rob, it was fiberglass. I didn't think he was going to break it, but he was pulling on it. He goes, "Well, Logan, what do you want me to do?" I said, "Well, can you dig across there so we get pulled up?" I said, "No, I'll hold the pickaxe. You dig across the rest of the yard. You're here to get in shape and to help me." And so the point I'm trying to make, sometimes we need help. Sometimes that root of bitterness, sometimes the things that digging in it, we just need to not be too proud to ask for help, to ask for prayer, to ask for encouragement. Whenever you find yourself wanting to do it your way and looking down on other people, you are being pulled by pride. We there's some things that we can do. But you know, there's some things that you can do yourself that you might need to ask someone else to help, because maybe they need to help you. Maybe they need to be involved and encouraged by you, even though you might not need the help. I'll be honest with you. I've asked for help for things I didn't need help with, just to spend time with someone, just to see how they're doing, because I know they were willing to help. James reveals that the Lord resists those who are proud. James 4:6. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Yes, that abomination, the Lord's talking about pride here. God hates human pride because it keeps us from allowing God to use us for His purpose. When we say, "I can do it myself," we're doing what we want to do, what not God wants us to do. When we say, "I can handle this," or "I want to do it my way." See, when we commit ourselves to do things our way, we are in no position to do it God's way. Pride renders us useless for the kingdom of God. We fall prey to pride when we forget that God does not exist for us, but we exist for Him. And sometimes we get that backwards. We exist for Him. When we eliminate pride, God can help us become all that He desires for us. You see, the sooner a believer realizes this, the fewer mistakes they will make as they grow in the Lord. Of course, most teenagers don't have a chance in this scenario, and neither did we when we were teenagers. After all, we thought we knew it all. Pride has it backwards, because it takes credit or it takes the glory away from a gracious God who gives us and awards us awards the faithful and the grateful. See, it is impossible to share credit with God. It is either all of Him or self. Self means the flesh. Self means I can do it myself. Taking credit for what God has done is an abomination. This is seen throughout Proverbs as disgust, as we mentioned before, God. Friend, God does not share His glory with anyone, and we shouldn't expect Him to. It's wonderful to get a praise. It's wonderful for someone to say, "Thank God for." I thank God for Brother Sam. I thank God for Brother Tony. That's wonderful, but remember, the praise part of it is to God. He's the one that provided these men to help, or provided ladies in fellowship to help one another. So taking credit for what God has done is an abomination. God does not want to share that. Pride whispered, "My way is the best." Pride thinks, I know how to do it. I know the best way. When we seek to take His glory, We deny that our help comes from the Lord. And folks, I don't know about you, there's a lot of things I can do, but how much more I can do better when I do it His way. Psalm 121 in verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and an earth. He is our helper. He is our provider. Everything we accomplish is because God enables and empowers us to accomplish it. Do we thank Him for the talents that He's bestowed upon us? Do we thank Him for the gifts that He's given us? And do we use those gifts to glorify Him as we serve one another here at Harvest? Beloved, any good in us is by His design, in His plan, in His redemption. Anything noteworthy that we can accomplish is because He, again, has enabled us. We have no goodness apart from God's goodness that's been imparted unto us. See, when we get proud, we will eventually be punished no matter what we do to avoid judgment. That pride will eventually catch up with us. It will catch up with us. You can link hands with others for protection, but I think it will be futile if we're doing it on our own or doing it in proud on our own. You may be proud because you are smart, you're strong, you're wealthy, you're beautiful, but much pride will eventually lead to your downfall, especially when we recognize it's self about how good I look, how strong I am, how wealthy, how beautiful. All those things will lead. And after all, it led to the first downfall. These are the things that led to the first. Men like Goliath, Samson, Saul, and the rich farmer found out about pride the hard way. Proverbs 6, verse 16, and part of verse 17. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. And the first one, a proud look. A proud look. A proud look in Hebrew reads haughty, high, or lofty eyes. It suggests arrogant ambition that leaves God out of one's life or leaves God out of one's plans. It is an attitude that overvalues self and undervalues others, causing people to look down their nose upon others. We used to call it stuck up. You know, they've got their nose up in the air. Boy, if it rained today, you'd drown for sure. You know, we need to be careful that we don't have that haughty spirit. The proud man or woman considers himself a cut above everyone else. He disdains those folks that he thinks are below him. This was the attitude of the Pharisee, if we think about how was his prayer, who thanked God he was not like the others. That's the haughty spirit. That's the proud look. Those things are an abomination unto the Lord. The pride of man, the majesty of God, are in constant conflict and rivalry. They just don't go together. We can't be proud and have the right respect and majesty toward the Lord Jesus, toward God, if we're thinking of self. The man that believes he is, again, is a cut above, God is an even greater fool, if you think about it. He thinks that. His attitude is an abomination to the Lord. See, when we look through the Bible, we find that lofty eyes or a proud countenance is associated with wickedness. God warns of His judgment toward those who have a proud countenance, and we'll look at several passages of Scripture. Again, this aspect of abomination and pride being that one that's toward God. When we think of the aspect as we make start our study, that proud look is that one abomination that we're looking at tonight. We'll look at some other ones next week, but that proud look. Look at Psalm 110 and verse 4. As God warns of His judgment toward those who have a proud countenance. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You ever met anyone that knew they were wrong, but just couldn't bring themselves to admit to their friend you were right? That's kind of like what we're doing with the Lord when we think we can do it ourselves, when we are full of pride. Psalm 18 and verse 27. For thou wilt save the afflicted people but will bring down the high looks. Psalm 101 in verse 5. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Again, that aspect of abomination that we're looking at tonight, a proud look. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 11. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Isaiah 3 and verse 9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. We are living that today, are we not? Again, that proud look right there in the middle of Isaiah 3. Pride makes us independent of God. We want our children to be independent. And I hear that phrase, and I kind of get that phrase, I can do it myself. We want our, not that she is proud now, but example for her when she was a child. Kayla wanted to be so independent as a young girl growing up. I mean, you would help her zip up her coat once, she would zip it down and want to do it. She wanted to watch and do it. You help her tie her shoes, she would want to tie it and then tie them again after watching you. We're getting ready to go somewhere, it's 0 degrees. We've all got our coats and shoes on. We're standing in the mudroom there in Eastern New York, leaving the house, which is cold in the mudroom. There is no heat. And we're all dressed and ready to go. And there's Kayla still, as she would say, lipping up her coat and has her shoes on and now tying them. I say, Kayla, let me help you. It's cold. Daddy, I can do it myself. Kayla, I know you can, but I'm cold, so I'm going to do it. Dad, you can do it when we get home. You can tie them now, and when we get in the car, if you want to untie them, untie them, help yourself. Now, she was just being independent. Yeah, a little prideful, I can do it, but she wants to do things on her own. We need to be careful as adults. Yeah, we may want to do things, but we need to make sure that we're doing them God's way, in the way God wants to do them. Allow Him to help us, to send people to us to help us do the things that He wants to accomplish. Because, you know, there's some things that God wants us to do, He may not want us to do it solo. He may want us to work with others to get the task done. Again, pride makes us independent of God. Pride says, I can go it alone. Living independent of God is self-delusion. When I am proud, I am lying to myself about what and who I am. I am pretending to be God and not man. Pride is the adulterous worship of myself. And that is the national religion of hell. Think about that for a moment. When we can do it ourselves, we are worshiping, lifting ourselves up. Friends, we cannot survive without the Lord's help. Jesus said in John 15, chapter 5, and we'll close with this, me, you can do nothing. So if God says through our Lord, without me, you can do nothing, why is pride the adulterous worship of self? Why do we allow, why do we worship self? Why do we think ourselves highly of someone else, of others, as opposed to the blessings of God? Again, if we're not careful, it becomes our own faith. It becomes our own thing. And we're not relying upon the Lord. Yes, there is no doubt in my mind that we have some very talented people in our church. We all know some people that are very talented. I have a few friends that I jokingly tell them, I love you, but I hate you. Because you're good looking. You can preach. You can sing. You can play an instrument. You know, in jest. But I'm so glad and I'm honored that some of those friends that I know like that said, yeah, but without God, I couldn't do it. It's because of Him. The memory that I have, the strength that I have, the ability to come up with illustrations, the ability to put together a sermon, the ability to help people, the ability in the field of electronics or whatever that you may do, is because God has gifted me with these things. I don't want to be found proud of the thought or the attitude, I can do it myself, or that I'm better than the others as a Pharisee. Remember, abominations to God. The first one that we looked at tonight, a proud look. And we'll go a little further next week. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And once again, we praise you and thank you for your blessings, for your goodness. Lord, help us, Lord, not to be lofty, not to be high and mighty on ourselves, but help us to remember that those things are abominations to you, and we should strive to do all we can. And any pride that we have is pride in what our Lord has done for us and through us and how he has helped us, but not of self. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love. Bless our time of fellowship. Bless our work week. Be with Brother Jones as he has already had an opportunity to be at church tonight, and find this way that you give them a good flight, a good night's rest, and I pray that you'd help him tomorrow and able to find the problems that he makes his day and efforts of the morning of just finding out what needs and what can be done. Pray that you'd use him to bless us while he's here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you, his preacher loves you. If I can be help to you, please take the ask. God bless you. You're dismissed.